Our scripture reading today comes from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 19. And we're not going to read all of it right now, but it starts off, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." And I want to stop at that point. You can read this on your own later. But let me introduce myself, first of all. My name is Yochanan. Now, you may call me John, because that's probably a little bit easier for you to remember. And I think I met some of you before, back around the time we celebrated Yeshua's birth a few months ago. And I believe I told you a little story back then. Well, today I want to share some events with you that happened, just about 2,000 years ago. And I want to start with where we just read there in the gospel that I wrote, where it was 6 days before Passover. And these are some very important things that took place. You see, we had been invited to Bethany, where we were to have supper with Lazarus. You know, the one that Yeshua raised from the dead, you remember? They sent word to him, and well, a lot of people thought he kind of dilly-dallied around getting there. And when he finally got to Bethany, well, guess what? Lazarus was dead. And they were mourning and they were crying and all this stuff. And Jesus didn't really at first seem too all concerned. But he goes out to where the grave is at, and they said, "Well, Jesus, it's not going to do any good now. He's been dead. He's been in the grave. He stinks by this time." Well, he went out and he stood there and he looked at that tomb and he did something I've never seen anyone else ever do before. He stood there and he looked at the tomb, stretched out his hands toward the tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And guess what? They moved the stone away. And would you believe it? It was something like you'd never seen before. Here comes Lazarus hopping out. I mean, he's all bound up in the burial clothes, but he comes hopping out of that grave. Well, I'll tell you, people just had never seen anything like that happen before. And now here we are in Bethany once again, celebrating as we're preparing in just a few days to celebrate Passover. Well, it's kind of here that my story starts, because as they're preparing the supper, you know, his sisters, Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, how many remember hearing about them before? Well, Martha was getting the meal ready. You know, she's kind of a busy person when it comes to cooking. She likes to cook, and, you know, I know there's a couple of people here that in this congregation today that like to cook, and they might kind of be a little bit about Martha. She was scurrying around the kitchen, getting everything prepared for the meal, wanting to make sure that everything was just right, because she wanted this to be an excellent meal. Well, her sister Mary, she's in there, and she is not helping in the least bit. I mean, she's not helping set the table. She's not helping get the food ready. And people are kind of really beginning to wonder why she's even there, you know. I mean, she's not doing anything. But the next thing you know, she brings out this bottle of oil of spikenard. And she anoints Yeshua's feet. And as she rubs the oil over his feet, then she wipes the excess off with her hair. Oh, it was a sight to behold. Now, first of all, many of you here may not know about spikenard, but it's a spice that is made from the flowering spikenard plant of China, and it's been used for various purposes throughout the centuries, and it's a very expensive oil. And here, as she is pouring this very expensive oil onto his feet, well, guess what? There's always got to be somebody that wants to cause a little bit of a problem. Our treasurer, you know, the group of us, Jesus, Yeshua, and the 12 disciples, we've got a treasurer. You know, he takes care of the money. You know, whenever something needs to be paid, he pays the bill. Well, he got kind of upset because she'd done this. He says, how can you be doing this? How can you be wasting this expensive oil on Yeshua's feet? Shouldn't you sell this then and give the money to the poor? I mean, you could do a lot more with that. Why, just think, how many little starving orphans in some place we could feed with that money? Did you ever hear somebody say that before? Trying to put a guilt trip on somebody? Well, that was what he was doing. He was trying to put a guilt trip on her. But you know, Yeshua wasn't going to have any of this, and he really kind of set Judas straight. Told her, he says, leave her alone. She kept this for the day of my burial. Well, you know, word gets around. And the next thing, all kinds of people are there. They're showing up, not only to see Yeshua, because he attracts a crowd wherever he goes. You know, when he comes into town, word gets around and the crowds come out. Well, they're not only coming to see him because they've heard that he's there, but they're coming to see Lazarus. After all, a lot of them want to see this guy that was dead and buried in the grave that come out when Yeshua spoke the words, Lazarus, come forth. You know why he specifically said, Lazarus, come forth? There was a reason. If he'd have stood there and spoke the words, come forth, in that graveyard, why, every tomb in that graveyard would have opened up and they'd have come out. So he had to be specific. And sometimes, you folks today, when you pray, you need to be maybe a little bit more specific in what you ask Father God for. Because sometimes he wants us to be that way. Be specific in your needs. Jesus, Yeshua, wanted Lazarus to come out of that tomb, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Well, the folks, they're out there to see Yeshua. They're there to see Lazarus. And of course, many came believing that Yeshua was the Messiah. They were looking for him. They were excited about him. And you know, all this is going on, but there were some greater events that were going to take place the next day. And that was really exciting. You see, Yeshua sent John and Peter into Jerusalem to find the colt that he would ride into Jerusalem on. And why did he have to have this? Did you ever stop to think why he had to have the colt to ride into Jerusalem on? Well, you see, it was prophesied in the scripture in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice with all your hearts, daughters of Zion. Shout out loud, daughters of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and he is victorious, yet he is humble. He is riding on a donkey, yes, on a lowly donkey's colt. So Yeshua must ride into Jerusalem on this colt to fulfill scripture. So they've went and they brought back the colt and they're taking Jesus into Jerusalem. And oh, I tell you, as it gets really exciting then. And we're celebrating that particular event today. You may see this thing. Oh, you've got such modern technology here today. Isn't it just great that you could put a picture up on the wall like that and not even have to take days or hours to paint it? But you just put it up there. And what does it say? It says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And it's got a picture of a palm branch. Well, you see, as Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on this donkey's colt, people are gathered around and they're excited and they're waving palm branches and they're taking off their cloaks and they're putting them down on the ground so that he doesn't even have to step on the dirt as he rides into Jerusalem. And they're crying out, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, which means in English, save us now. Save us now, because they were looking for Messiah to come. They were looking for one who was going to deliver them. The only unfortunate thing is many were just looking for someone that was going to deliver them from the Romans and from the oppression of Rome. You see, Jerusalem and Yahweh God's chosen people had been under oppression for a long time, and they were seeking deliverance from this. But Yeshua was bringing a deliverance that they couldn't even fathom. He was bringing with him the hope of eternal life. He was bringing with them forgiveness from sin. He was bringing all these things as Messiah, but some of them were only looking for deliverance from Rome. So they cry out, Hosanna, save us now, save us now. One of my fellow disciples wrote this in the book that the gospel he authored, Matthew chapter 21, verses 7 through 9. And it says, they brought the donkey and the colt and put their robes on them. And Yeshua said on them, crowds of people carpeted the road with their clothing, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds ahead of him and behind shouted, please deliver us to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai. You in the highest heaven, please deliver us now. But this event, which you as Christians, those who are Christ-like, you know, when you use the word Christian, and I know I've heard in this century, it gets bantered about a lot. You hear about Christian this and Christian that. But what does the word Christian really mean? It means you are supposed to be Christ-like. If you are a Christian, you should be Christ-like. Well, a lot of things are fixing to happen. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, then the next day, oh, some excitement really took place, because you see, there were a lot of people who were already were of a mind to kill Jesus. They were of a mind to somehow dispose of him because he was a threat to them. Especially since this event with him going into the graveyard and calling Lazarus forth from the dead, they've decided that, hey, not only do we need to kill Jesus, we better kill that Lazarus character too. You know, we put a stop to this. So Jesus goes into town now. He's in Jerusalem the next day after his exciting ride in. And the crowds waving the palm branches and such excitement. Oh, I know that you folks that live here in Columbia, Tennessee, had a parade yesterday. I think you call it something like Mule Days or something like that. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, people are riding on donkeys and stuff like that and mules. And, well, it kind of maybe brings back a few thoughts of how it was back then. And you had a parade, and people were probably out there at that parade route just excited, and they were glad to see all the folks that were in the parade. And I understand your grand marshal was some guy named Guy Penrod. I heard he's a singer or something with a gospel group, and a lot of folks like to hear him sing and all of that. So some went out to the parade probably just to see him. But anyway, we've had all this excitement of the ride into Jerusalem, but that was only the beginning. Because you see, on the next day, oh, boy, I'll have to say this. Yeshua knows how to stir up the flames and the fire. Because he goes to the temple. And again, my fellow apostle Matthew wrote in chapter 21 of his gospel, verse 12, Yeshua entered the temple grounds and drove out those who were doing business there, both the merchants and their customers. He upset the desks of the money changers and knocked over the benches of those who were selling pigeons. He said to them, it has been written, my house, he's speaking of his father's house, will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers. Well, Let's face it. That made a lot of folks unhappy. These people he drove out, they were not the least bit happy. Man, the next thing, they're gathered around the high priest and the chief of priests and all these other folks there in the temple and the rulers of the temple here and the leaders. And they're saying, you've got to get rid of this Jesus character. He's going to put us out of business. We can't continue working like this if he comes in and drives us out all the time. Get rid of him. Do something. Make it up if you have to. Well, then to top it off, he's not only driven these money changer folks out of the temple, he starts, of all things, healing people. Can you imagine that? Healing people. He walked up to this one that was lame, laid his hands on him and said, be healed. And the man jumped up and started walking. He walked up to another that was blind and said, be healed.
I see, Lord.
And he could see all sorts of things and illnesses and diseases and afflictions. They were healed. Well, now some people get excited when somebody gets healed. They're delivered from afflictions that hinder their body or their mind or whatever it may be. But no, some more people got upset. He can't be doing this here in the temple. We just can't have this kind of thing going on here. Well, you know, the fact is, when you're in God's house, that should be a place for healing. That should be a place for deliverance. That should be a place for being set free. But it seems like some of these folks wanted to make it a house of bondage and rule it with an iron thumb and say, actually, I think some of them were probably saying, God, you aren't even welcome here. Well, they continued to get upset. And it was a really busy week for Yeshua. He went around through Jerusalem and, well, he told a lot of parables and things that you still talk about and preachers still preach about today. I mean, he talked about the parable of the two sons and of the wicked husbandman and the question of tribute money and the widow's mite. And, you know, that's kind of an interesting one because you know, the widow's mite, she put just a tiny, tiny, tiny amount in the offering. But it's all she had. And here's somebody else over here, this rich guy. I think his name was John, too. He put a big offering in, made a big show of it, waved it around. Look here, people, I'm putting all this money here. And she just put this little tiny bit in. And Jesus said she put more in than he did because she put in all she had and he still had a lot left over. Now, I know this John sitting over here wishes he had a lot left over too, but and so do the rest of you. Well, that kind of made some of those folks unhappy too. Well, I don't know, it just seemed like this week Jesus went around spending about as much unhappiness as he did happiness there. Because there were a lot of folks who didn't want him to be the Messiah, that didn't want people to follow after him, or really getting ticked off. Now, that's not a word we used back then, but I picked that up here in this day. You know, I hear some of you used it, ticked off, you know. And, well, it made him even madder. Well, then it's Thursday, and it's time to make preparations for Pesach, or the Passover meal, which would turn out to be the last and most important meal that we would share with Yeshua before he was crucified. And my other fellow disciples, Matthew, Mark, and even a guy by the name of Luke, who came along a little bit later and wrote a very good gospel. He was, you know, a friend of Paul's, you know, that apostle who was born out of due season. Well, anyway, they all wrote about this event in their gospels. And it was there that Yeshua took the servant's place and he began to wash our feet. And well, you remember my fellow apostle or disciple, Peter. You know, he's the one that's kind of rash anyway, you know, that big fisherman. And he looked at Yeshua and says, "Not me. You're not going to wash my feet, Yeshua. Uh-uh." Well, Jesus began to have a few words with him and set him straight here. And I wrote about it in the gospel that I wrote in chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. It says, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Wash me all over." Peter was ready for Yeshua to give him a bath at that time. Jesus, if this is what it takes, wash me all over because I want to have a part of you. Oh, it was exciting. Now, I've heard some folks have these things called foot washings, you know. I haven't heard of it around in this century too much, but I remember back in like the early 20th century, you know, and some folks did it back then for sure. But, you know, I bet there was some water splashing went on when they got to washing feet, you know. Oh, they got excited. Well, after this was all over, we had the meal, and it was toward the end of the meal that Yeshua revealed there was a traitor among us. Can you imagine that? A traitor among us? The 12 who, along with Yeshua, had been together for almost 3 years, and one is a traitor? Surely that can't be. Surely not. Well, we didn't catch on right away as to who it was, but we soon found out. And again, you can read about that in that same gospel that I wrote in chapter 13, verses 21 through 29. Well, it's all coming to conclusion here, and Jesus has shared the bread and the cup with us in what you folks today call communion, or the Last Supper. And this is concluded. And he's asked us to go with him to the garden. You know, Jesus just loved to go to that Garden of Gethsemane. So quiet and peaceful there. We went there with him, and he said to the disciples, "Wait here a while I go up here and pray." And you know what? It was late. And would you believe it? Every last one of us went to sleep. And Jesus is up there agonizing in prayer, and we're laying down there sawing logs. But it wasn't going to be too long before we'd find out not only who the traitor was, but some other great things were going to happen. Some important details were going to take place. Because you see, it wasn't too long before Judas... You know, when he left the dinner early, we thought he had some business to take care of, or maybe Jesus had told him to go out and buy something for the poor or whatever. And we thought he was taking care of, well, you folks today would call it taking care of church business. And we thought that's what he was up to. But now we find that Judas is coming back into the garden, and he's got with him some soldiers. And he runs up and he gives Yeshua a kiss on the cheek. And the soldiers grabbed Yeshua then. Because you see, Judas has betrayed him. That one who had walked with us so many years now betrays Yeshua. It's a long night. And before it's all over with, Yeshua is hanging on a cross, being crucified between two thieves. It's a horrible turn of events. You see, just a few short days ago, on that day that you now call Palm Sunday, Yeshua had ridden into Jerusalem, seeming almost like the conquering hero, as the crowd is crying out, "Hosanna, save us now." And yet, many of this same crowd just a few hours earlier had stood around and yelled, "Crucify him! It doesn't matter that he's innocent. Crucify him! Get rid of him." And now Yeshua's on that cross, a thief on either side. And one thief looks at the other and says, "He doesn't deserve to be here." Yeshua, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Yeshua uttered back to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And not much longer, Yeshua entered those final words, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. And when that happened, a great earthquake took place. The sky darkened, and a Roman soldier who is standing there said, "Surely this was the Son of God." He knew who Messiah was. He, one who was a heathen, a Gentile. Did you know that you were all heathens until you accepted Yeshua as your Savior? This heathen recognized who Messiah was, when Messiah's own people had their eyes blinded. Well, what happened after that's another story. And a week from now, you folks and a lot of folks in other churches around the world are going to gather together, and you're going to celebrate the events that took place after Jesus said, "It is finished." And my friends, if you're listening to me today by CD or through the internet or whatever other means you may hear this message, Yeshua is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. And He gave His life on that cross that would pay for your sins, for your forgiveness. So the bill has been paid. The debt has been cleared. All you have to do is accept it. And won't you accept that today? If you don't know Jesus, Yeshua is your Savior, won't you say, "Yeshua," or "Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come into my heart today. Cover those sins that I have with that blood that was shed on that cross almost 2,000 years ago. And today I accept the forgiveness that you've done for me. And I thank you for it. In the name of Yeshua, amen, amen."